This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Speaking of local history, Rick Britton joins me live in studio, award-winning author, cartographer, online at rickbritton.com. We were just talking before we went on the air that you have your Arby's back. All you Forest Lakes folks that live up north, up 29,
you're
going to get your Arby's back.
And, that's right. They're working on it right now.
I didn't know that.
Through the parking lot this morning, and they're working on it. So soon we'll have Arby's North back.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what's the latest? You have events coming up at Mickey Tavern, right?
I do, absolutely. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, tomorrow Thursday, January 13th, starts at 11, I'm giving a lecture on Anastasia, Charlottesville's very own royal princess. And so the cost is...
Self-believed.
Yes, and we're going to talk all about that in the lecture. It's a lot of fun. She had an amazing life. The cost is $25. You get it's a lecture and a lunch. So following the lecture and Q&A, we're going to go over to the fabulous dining facility over there at Mickey Tavern and have fried chicken and black-eyed peas and stewed tomatoes and cobbler and all that stuff. And then I'll do a book signing. So if folks are interested, they need to call over there to Mickey Tavern. It's 977-1234. Easy to remember that.
This is a growing community. We have a lot of folks who are new to our neighborhoods, and we're honored to have you. Welcome home. But if you've never been to Mickey Tavern for an afternoon of eating and dining, I strongly recommend it. And you can't really consider yourself a local until you've done that. And I just want to give a shout out to
you. Need a nap.
Yeah, of course. I just want to give a quick shout out to the folks who work there and who host you, because I've spoken there as well. And the service by the folks
who
work there is just fantastic. Yeah, I mean, they're really, really great. And they just make you feel at home, and the food is terrific.
The whole thing. And what better venue in this area than, you know, to talk about local history than at Mickey Tavern.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
Rick Britton is with us. We're going to continue our conversation series, our new series, talking about Thomas Jefferson's greatest hits.
Wow.
He only listed three on his tombstone, but you have a list now that is approaching
It's
two or three dozen,
It's probably about 50. Yeah. So, but I'm thinking that, you know, we're not going to dedicate an entire episode to each single one because,
we can cover a lot of ground.
Yeah. We'll be talking about Jefferson for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we could anyway.
We can cover a lot of ground, and we like to begin the discussion with a quiz, right?
Yeah. Let's do a couple to get the folks listening, get their ears on. So here's the very first one. True or false? Jefferson believed in all of the miracles in the Bible. Is that true or false?
977-1070 is the phone number. I got some Domino's pizza for you if you're interested, and you got a 50-50 shot. And if you, we'll give you two chances to try with your 50-50 shot. 977-1070 at 441 on the clock, 34 degrees in Charlottesville. Let's go to the phones. Caller, what is your first name, please?
It's Susan.
Susan, how are you? Happy Wednesday.
I'm okay.
So, Rick, let that question fire again.
Susan, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
True or false? Thomas Jefferson believed in all of the miracles in the Bible.
False. He did not.
False. That's absolutely right. Good job.
Way to go, Susan. How do you know that, Susan? You just
I just heard it over and over the years and knew he made his own little version of the Bible where he took out all that stuff.
He cut them all out, didn't he?
He absolutely
did. Susan, hold on. We'll let Channing hook you up with some pizza. Thank you for calling.
All right, thanks.
That's Susan on line one. And Rick, he sort of attacked his Bible with a little knife, didn't he?
And with the scissors, yeah. And he cut out the Gospels, and then the Gospels in four languages, pasted them into his own Bible, and created what he called the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, saying that the rest of the stuff you can't believe because it can't be proven.
Yeah.
A very Enlightenment way of looking at it.
Right.
Can't prove it, so you shouldn't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess his whole point was, and I've read some of his letters where he said that Jesus was the greatest teacher of all time. And the greatest moralist and ethical teacher.
A prophet.
Yeah.
Right.
And I guess his argument was that all these miracles have been added on to the story since his life and were used by the church to empower and enrich the clergy, which Jefferson, of course, objected to. And he said, you really don't need the miracles to appreciate the teachings.
Absolutely.
So let's get that out of the way and just focus on what was his message.
And kind of makes a lot of sense.
And I guess that's the whole point of the Jefferson Bible, really.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have another caller on the line. Hey, caller, what's your first name?
David.
David, happy Wednesday. How are you?
I'm great. A little cold, but fire one at me.
Are you ready?
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody knows that Jefferson was born in April of 1743, but what was the actual date on the calendar the year he was born?
Oh, is this a multiple choice?
It is. Was it April 13th? Was it April 2nd, or was it C, April 10th? What was the real date on the calendar?
14th,
the day,
10th?
No, 13th, 2nd, or 10th.
13th, 2nd, or 10th of April, because
right.
The calendar was a little different back then.
Ooh.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, you're not supposed to give away stuff like that.
My first answer is the 10th.
Yeah. Nope, that's not right.
All right, David.
Do I get one more? Or you go to the next caller.
You get as many as you want, buddy.
You get another try, my friend.
All right. Let's see. Not the 10th. All right. How about the 13th?
No, that's the one we celebrate, so that one's also not correct.
All right. Well, then it's got to be the 2nd.
It is. It's absolutely
there
April
you go.
2nd.
David, hold on just a minute, and I'm going to let Channing hook you up with some Domino's pizza.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a bunch for calling, and we got more callers calling in. Stand by. We'll have another question for you. So explain this to the folks, because...
Yeah,
it all has to do
with the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar, and the Western world, the English-speaking world, was really late to adopt the Gregorian calendar, which is pretty much the calendar we're still using today, which is a lot more accurate. And when we switched to the Gregorian calendar in 1752, so Jefferson was already 9 years old, 11 days were added to every date from then on. So, you know, you jumped it from February 1st to February 12th, just like that. They added 11 days. So his original birthday is actually April 2nd. So 11 days were added, so that date became April 13th, the date we celebrate today.
That's why it says April 2nd on the tombstone,
and
right?
It says April 2nd OS, which stands for Old Style or Old System, and that's the Julian calendar.
There you go. Good stuff. We're talking with Rick Britton at 4:45. Let's go back to the phones. Caller, what's your first name?
Lucy.
Hey, Lucy, how you doing? Where you been?
Okay, I've been right here most of the time.
Oh, well, how are you? Happy New Year. Haven't heard from you in a long time.
I know it. Well, listen, I was calling to answer the last question because I knew the answer was April 2nd.
Oh, good for you, Lucy.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
That's what I was calling for. Now, I might not know the next one.
Oh, well, we're gonna help you, all right?
Okay, you ready?
Well, I don't think that's fair. I think you should know that.
Lucy is old school.
I like taking care of my listeners, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, you just like giving pizzas away.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with giving
pizza
away.
So here comes the next one.
Well, Lucy, you ready?
I probably won't know this
one. I think you will, because you've been around here for a while, right?
Well, that doesn't make any difference. My memory is fading.
It will for this one. True or false, all of the University of Virginia structures designed by Thomas Jefferson still stand. True or false? Are all of them still standing?
All the buildings that he designed,
that he
are they
designed.
All still standing today?
I don't know, but I'll say true.
Ooh.
All right, Lucy, try it again.
See,
try it again.
I told you. Well, it's false.
It is false.
I told you.
There you go. You are a smart woman, Lucy.
No, I'm kind of dumb. You are indeed.
I am so impressed. You are a smart woman, and we're lucky to have you out there. So hold on just a minute. Channing's going to hook you up with some Domino's pizza. You take care of yourself, and it's always great to hear from Lucy. I'm glad she's doing well. There's been one building was torn down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, one building was torn down, and that was the Anatomical Theater, and it was torn down, and I know you know this date. I've forgotten. Was it the 1820s to construct Alderman Library or 1930s?
Yeah, Alderman Library opened in 1938, and they tore down the Anatomical Theater in 1939.
There you go. Yeah. I knew you would know that.
It burned in the 1880s.
They claimed that they needed to tear down the Anatomical Theater to make room, but if you see the spot where it sat, it's hard to imagine why they couldn't have left that building.
Yeah,
there,
it was right across from. There needs to be some little plaque or something. There
needs to be a plaque.
Maybe an architectural design kind of landscape. Uh-huh. Some of the footprint of the building.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you could put the footprint of the building in the landscape somehow.
That would be nice.
And say
and a plaque
here once stood.
Another
the only
structure,
Jefferson
right.
designed building that it was stood right across from West Range and what's
right.
now, I guess, the front yard of Alderman Library.
Right, that's right.
And they tore it down because they said it was a nasty old building that marred the vista of this beautiful,
yeah,
grand new library.
Yeah, but it was designed by Thomas Jefferson.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We're talking with Rick Britton live in studio, and we're honored to have him here. Do you have another question, or should
no,
we
let's,
get...
No, let's get into some of these things.
Let's
or we'll,
do that.
Or we'll never get to them.
We continue our conversation with local author Rick Britton online at rickbritton.com. What makes the first thing on your list as Jefferson's greatest hits.
And these are roughly chronological. The first one is the dredging of the Rivanna River, and this took place in 1765. When you think about it, tobacco was our first cash crop. Tobacco, as civilization came up the waterways in Virginia, as civilization moved west in Virginia, so did tobacco. Tobacco was extremely lucrative, and of course you had to get it down to the James River, and then you had to get it out in the Chesapeake, out to the Atlantic, and you had to get it to all those addicted people in Western Europe who were smoking it, who got addicted to it really quickly, just like everybody does. So Jefferson discovered that, you know, one of the problems with the Rivanna River, which in his day was called the North Fork of the James, one of the problems was you couldn't really float a tobacco canoe or a bateau all the way down from Milton, which was a port, a little port city on the Rivanna. That created a problem because there are not a lot of good roads in the early days in Virginia, and the ones that we had were just notoriously bad. So the simplest way of getting tobacco down the James River was to float it down. So Jefferson came up with this idea of dredging the Rivanna to make it navigable, in other words, to make it easy for a bateau. And some of these large bateaus could float as many as four hogsheads of tobaccos. That's a lot of tobacco.
And for folks who don't
each
know,
at about 1,000 pounds. That's a lot of tobacco.
For folks who don't know, a bateau is a big flat boat, basically.
Big flat boat.
It was the freighter of its day, right?
Right. It doesn't draw a lot of water, and but still, even the fact that it had it only drew a little bit of water, it was still impossible to get down. So you needed to remove some rocks along the way. And you needed to dredge to make the main channel a little bit deeper. So Jefferson came up with this idea. Then he approached one of his good neighbors and his buddy, Dr. Thomas Walker, who's really the founder of Charlottesville, who owned the property and then laid out Charlottesville, Virginia, which was founded in 1762. He approached Dr. Thomas Walker, who happened to be a member of the House of Burgesses at the time. Walker proposed it in the House of Burgesses, and then in October of 1765, the assembly passed a bill for clearing the Great Falls of James River, the River Chickahominy, and the North Branch of the James. That's the Rivanna. And then they put together committees to raise monies for these different projects for the state of Virginia. And Jefferson quickly rose to the chairmanship of the local committee. So here's Jefferson at the tender age of 22. Heading up a committee.
This is before he goes to the state government.
Absolutely.
Before he really does anything. He's just a local lawyer and landowner.
Just a local guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a kid, 22. So here he is heading up this committee to raise money to dredge the Rivanna. Evidently,
in which he has a vested interest, of course.
Of course he does, because he's going to make more money. He and his father had already passed away, but he's going to make more money by getting the tobacco down there quicker and safely getting it down to Richmond and points further east. And evidently, this was completed by the time that he was married, which is just 7 years later in 1772.
So he was successful then in raising the money for the
project.
He
was successful. And later, after the presidency, during his retirement years here, his 17-year-long retirement here in Albemarle County, he wrote down a brief list of some of the reasons that mankind was a little better off because he had lived. And he placed this as number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
It's so great to be talking about Thomas Jefferson dredging something. In light of the talk of the water supply debate going on here forever, Jefferson advocated local dredging.
Local dredging.
Yeah.
For a different reason, though.
Yeah, this was for commerce.
Yeah, it was for commerce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not for water supply.
It's a little bit different. And today we have the folks who want to build a big dam for commerce, for growth and development. And very interesting.
Yeah.
We're talking with Rick Britton. We have time for another one if you got one on
your
list.
Yeah, here we go. I don't think a lot of folks are familiar with this fact, but this is kind of concurrent with the others and into his service in the House of Burgesses, which we'll talk about next time. But Jefferson held quite a number of local Albemarle County titles. He was the Justice of the Peace. He was a local magistrate. He was a member of the House of Burgesses, and a very little-known one is that Lord Botetourt, the governor of Virginia during his time in the House of Burgesses, made Jefferson the county lieutenant of militia, which, according to biographer Dumas Malone, gave Jefferson the right to be called colonel here locally. So from about 1769 until 1775, when the Revolution broke out here locally, Jefferson was colonel.
That's so fascinating that he had, even if it was on paperwork only, that he had any kind of military experience.
You don't think of him as having any military titles at all.
When it comes to the military, all you think about is his years as governor, which was horrible.
We'll get to. The very nadir of his political career, his years as governor.
Yeah,
absolutely. The bottom.
A horrible leader there, trying to head up the state militia.
Bad time.
Yeah, but he was really hampered by the fact that he had no money to work with and very little support in the General Assembly.
Right, and we'll get to this later on, but now that you've mentioned a few things about it, one of the real problems is because of the kind of government they were setting up and because of the horrible experience with the royal governors of Virginia, they set up the Virginia governor as a title with very little power. And so then when Jefferson inherited it from Patrick Henry, the first governor of an independent Virginia during the American Revolution, he still had very, very little power to do anything. And we'll talk about that when we get to his years as governor.
Check him out online. RickBritton.com is the website. And he joins us each week to talk about the greatest hits of Thomas Jefferson. Rick, thank you so much.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.